This is Taney County Commission. We're back from recess. Chris, could you join us at one of the microphones? And this morning we're going to be offering our appreciation to AmeriCorps. And I would like Chris to start, if you would, Chris.
Well, I had heard of AmeriCorps a long time ago, but 2007 I had the opportunity to work in Greene County, helped them out for a few days during the ice storm. And that's the first time I had really seen what AmeriCorps can do in regards to coordinating volunteers and filling some of the needs that the people have. So during the Leap Day tornado, we had some assistance from Greene County Emergency Management down here that helped the city of Branson, helped me here in the county. And early on, I would want to probably say that morning of that Leap Day tornado, the question came up, how are we going to help people? Can we do this locally, or do we have enough resources to do that? And the thought that we needed some help was pretty evident pretty early on, so the request was made for AmeriCorps out of St. Louis. Traditionally, I think they show up several days into a disaster, but due to the fact that we made an early request, they were here Wednesday night, the night of the tornado, and started up operation Thursday morning at the Branson Chamber. And it obviously there was a little bit of assistance locally from the chamber to provide some housing for them and a place to work and do those things. But it really, AmeriCorps has done a lot for us to help us coordinate volunteers, especially early on when the need was the highest and the most availability of volunteers was the greatest also. And there was maybe a little bit of frustration at first, even for me, because I'm like, well, just go out there and fix things. Well, it's really not quite that simple. People have to, has to be a request from the people that they actually want somebody to be on their property and clean up and potentially take things away. So there has to be some paperwork done for this. Plus, it's due to the coordination from AmeriCorps, we have pretty detailed records now of how many hours of volunteer labor we had, how many buildings, how many families were helped, and all that. And that, you know, it took a few days to really ramp up and work well, but it was pretty neat. And now, today, actually, we're in the process changing over, moving from the chamber to 400 West Pacific. The Presbyterian Church is taking up the lead now to continue to coordinate volunteers. And it's not that it's just the Presbyterian Church is doing. There's really a lot of different organizations involved. Presbyterian Church is taking up just the lead to be the one focal point where all the volunteers can continue to report and where they get, homeowners can continue to call the same numbers that we've had in the past, can call for assistance. And in fact, we're having a meeting this afternoon at 3 o'clock to finalize some more of those details, how this is all will go, who all is going to be involved, and it's going to be at the First Baptist Church in Forsyth. So we want to make sure that we have representation of the eastern part of the affected area.
Dan, Jim?
Well, I would say this. There's not enough adjectives to add to the amount of work that they did. Tremendous, unbelievable. Whenever I was on location and I run into their staff who are here today. We were in constant contact, passing each other on the road. As a matter of fact, we got to know each other quite well, and the amount of work that they did and organizational skills that they had to help the citizens of the county was very much appreciated. A lot of volunteers coming in and everybody wanting to help, and a lot of church groups and things, and they had their, they were on top of the entire response team to help the citizens, and that's what we were all about, was trying to get to those that felt like they were helpless and this and that. And I can't say enough for the organization. I thought it was great, and their staff worked great with Road and Bridge. I'm sure Randy will attest to that. And that's about all I've got to say is that they're an unbelievable group.
And I would just echo those thoughts. I mean, appreciate you guys coming in so quickly. I think it offered some peace when there was some chaos, and some structure when we were trying to reel and trying to figure out what to do. So I appreciate, you know, obviously the timeliness, but also all the hidden things that people don't realize that goes into a disaster and a recovery effort. So, but I would just I want to thank you and come back and visit us when there's not a disaster. We're actually a pretty good city and county. So, but anyway, I do want to say thanks for all you did.
I just started to say, when Jim refers to me, he says that I've been around a very, very long time. I don't know exactly what you mean by that, but let me tell you this. It's rare within this county that we have such kudos from the citizens of the county, where everything is positive and there are no negatives. And all the comments that I've had that have come to me directly regarding your group, your effort, have been tremendous. Everything is positive, and I think that's just outstanding. I would like to read what we have, which is a certificate of appreciation for AmeriCorps in recognition of outstanding service and dedication to Taney County. It gives the Commission great gratification to honor such an exceptional, service-oriented corporation. Upon the immediate aftermath of the Leap Day tornado in Taney County, Missouri, it became evident that AmeriCorps was committed to serving the needs of citizens throughout our community. Your dedication and organization of volunteers throughout this ordeal has been exemplary. We want to extend a heartfelt thanks to you, AmeriCorps, for your dedication to our community, given this 15th day of March in the year 2012. And I'd like to say that Warren Mercurio and June Gould with AmeriCorps are here with us, and if they'll come up, we'd like to present you with the certificate.
Thank you, Chris.
Hey, thank you.
Thanks, thank you.
Hold that back over the way. June.
St. Joe, they're just now dealing with last year's flooding. The water's just now gone down, and they're just now dealing with it.
Can you
move
just a little more?
This way?
Yeah. Okay, now we've got everybody in it. Hey, tall ones.
How's this? I mean, come in.
That'd be good.
I can get you one of these. I can email you.
Okay,
that'd
be good.
Your email.
That'd be great. I'll do that.
Perfect. Yep, that was a good one.
Where are you guys from, St. Louis?
Our office is in Soulard. I live in Chesterfield. Mm-hmm. He's from Rhode Island.
You've been down to Soulard Market?
Yeah. Yeah. Nice. I take a food stamp.
That's a great market down there.
Yeah.
So we're not until 10 now. Well, don't know. We'll hear from Randy on that. That's what this is about. Storm up.
Okay.
Randy, you want to join us? I should have got Randy in the picture.
Yeah, I thought about that.
I'm sorry, I didn't.
Thank you.
Oversight. And Chris, too? Did you have any further comments? We were just doing a brief update regarding the storm. And you're welcome to offer comments, obviously. Randy?
Morning, gentlemen.
Morning.
After our last meeting, we were trying to find locations, at least another avenue for residents to deal with the root ball stumps type thing that they're had a few calls of people concerned didn't know what to do with this type of material. We do have the site there at Shoals Bend that will still be active through the 31st. At least, and we're still receiving material there. It's slacking off, so people are probably winding down some of their debris cleanup. We received 7 loads yesterday, and so it's winding down a little bit, but there's still material coming in. I haven't had any luck in finding residents out in there that were willing to take this, but in trying to find a stump grinder, I mean, there are machines out there. I'm still waiting on calls to come in on that to find out a little more information. But I had an idea of at least another avenue for the residents is if we used our Mount Branson facility to, if they want to dump the stump there, we could deal with it at a later time and give us time to find more information on the stump grinder availability or another source that way. It's just the idea I had right now. It just it'd be closer proximity to the Mount Branson area, also the power side. I mean, that leaves at least 2 places for them to take this type of material. And then we could see at least a response, how much does come in to see the need for the stump grinder or not. You know, I don't know if they're going to have to get somebody to pick this type of material up and haul it. So, and it's going to take a pretty good sized machine to be able to pick up some of these the size they are that we've seen.
What I'm taking from what Randy's saying is that we are going to try to make those sites available right now for people to come and deliver some of the stumps that can be handled. Some of those stumps just going to take a track hoe or something like that to even be able to move those stumps.
You mean you have sites now?
We have the Shoals Bend site. Basically, is the only site that's available right now.
All right.
I was thinking the Mount Branson county facility as providing a second site right now.
On the back side of the Mount Branson facility, Randy had mentioned this to me, is that we could take in a certain amount of that root wad on those big stumps, and we could place it at that location, and then if a stump grinder becomes available, then we could actually do something with it right there on location.
How much could we store there?
We can store several there. I mean, we're not utilizing the back part of the facility right now, so that we could use that for the time being.
Do you gentlemen want to make that available to the press, the people that wanted to bring that, and it would save them a long haul from there, and then also the fact that we've still got until the 31st, we've got the fairgrounds. I visited with Mayor Potter yesterday.
My only hesitancy is not knowing how many and how fast we deal with it at Mount Branson. I don't have a problem with the shoal bend, but I mean, we don't have a lot of space at Mount Branson anyway. And my concern is just getting there and then what?
Well, the other question arises is I don't know how much, if any, is going to even come there.
Right.
So it'd be tough to schedule a stump grinder if it's not going to be utilized.
If we don't have the stumps on location, is what he's saying.
I'd rather have it there and then know what we have to deal with. And,
okay.
I have a location in the power side area that if we had the right size of stump grinder, which is turned into a little bit of a problem, but I've got a location there that has a lot of damage, has a lot of stumps already located there. Placing a culvert at that location and letting people bring them to that location is something that the property owner's already been talked to about and would be available, and that would take care of that general area. There's a lot in that area.
If you think there's capacity and that will help you do an assessment of what we're dealing with from a size of the quantity, I'm fine with it. I'm fine with it.
It would basically help out mainly the Mount Branson area. For what I see there in just the residential area of Mount Branson, I think we would have the room to store it there. Now, a great big quantity, I think we'd run into a problem even on our facility. So,
We were actually looking, Jim, for maybe a ravine somewhere or somebody that, you know, how we put out our places where we give the permits for people to take in what we have excess, but we can't find anything that is accessible to the public. If it's a ravine, usually it doesn't have good access to get to it.
Right.
So, Randy's looked. I have looked. Randy's called around and got prices and got quotes and things. And some of those are too extreme to consider. Just to be truthful with you, but we're still working on it. I want the public to know that we're still working on it, and there's a lot of work to be done yet. But we need to have a accessible place that is their option to get that there at that location if they wish to do so, and then we'll try to figure out what we're going to do with the rest of this stuff. You know, it's quite a deal when you've got something that fills the whole back of a dump truck up with one root wad. Well, then we're kind of up against it.
Well, that's fine. That's fine. Let's just get in there and we'll assess. What else? What else we got?
Okay. Right now, the transfer station is able to keep up. I talked with David yesterday. We still have the third truck over there. He's able to keep up and also keep up with the metal. And it's just kind of wait and see as when he gets back to what we call normal operation. But that may be a while yet. So we're going to continue to keep the other truck over there to keep that running.
And we were running four trucks out of there to Springfield, weren't we?
Actually, we're running three full-time trucks out of there right now.
I thought Mr. Stottle told me that we had one time we had four trailers going at every 45 minutes.
I mean, we've got another one available, and he may have used that.
So we're down to three.
So, but I'll keep up with him on that as far as what he needs there. So.
It's been absolutely. I drove the sites again yesterday. As from day to day, it's unbelievable the amount of cleanup that's taking place. There's still a tremendous amount of work to be done, but it's something that is visibly, you can visibly see that it's the accomplishments of what Road and Bridge have done, what AmeriCorps has done, what Chris and their group has done. It's just, it's visible to see it day by day. And but this deal with the root wad stump debris is something that is going to have to be, I hate to say it like this, but it's almost a specialized deal. It's something that's bigger than a house you can, or a trailer you can tear down. This thing here is one root wad is going to, we'll have trouble fitting it in the back of a dump truck.
Right.
So it's something that we're going to have to figure out, and we're working on it. I want the public to know that we're working on that situation, but it just hadn't come available yet.
Basically, the cost of this type of equipment is something that we would have to bid out anyway, so it'd be good to know if we do get a tremendous amount of this material, then we kind of got an idea of more of a cost and how long do we need it and that type of thing.
When you say this kind of material, that's the material that would be brought to our facility.
Right, and basically the debris, the wood, the limbs, we've already got a site for that, and the people are utilizing that and bringing it in, and we can take care of that by burning. But the big root stump is the problem for them, you know.
Right.
They just have to hire a contractor or somebody with the equipment to be able to remove that, and then if they can either bring it to Shoals Bend or we provide another site there. That
Randy, for those people that have insurance, is that something that insurance covers?
I don't know. I'm not sure how much. It, I guess, depends on their policy. I mean, I'm not real sure.
Normally, what I found out insurance-wise, if it's just a tree that just blew over in the yard or in the field, there isn't, unless they would have some special for that, there is not. If the tree hits the house, then the homeowner's insurance will cover that. But if it's just out in the yard, there is normally no insurance for it, for the cleanup of the tree.
Chris, I talked to a guy the other day that had a ranch, and he's the rural area is kind of one of those that gets lost in the shuffle in this thing.
Right.
And this guy had probably 200 yards, I guess, of fence that was completely wiped out. I talked to the lady at Snap's Cemetery, Snap Bearden Cemetery. They had to move their cattle that night at 2 o'clock in the morning because their fence was tore out,
right.
You know. And I asked both of those, and they said, no, the insurance wouldn't cover it. So there's a lot of people affected that are having to take out of their own pocket to do
yes.
certain things. And the group yesterday that I run into as I was down by the apartments at Winchester, it's that took the whole top of the apartments off down there. They had a group down there working. And, you know, there's just a lot of places that don't have any insurance. It's unbelievable that that many areas are affected with that. So I don't know how, that's what I'm saying. This is a work in progress. And the county commission and Road and Bridge and your staff, we just have to make these places available. Hopefully we can get part of it there and then deal with the rest of it as it comes along and as we make decisions.
Right, right.
Okay. So we're in agreement, that's what we're going to do, right?
You're going to take them to two locations and still seek prices?
Yeah.
Okay. Anything else?
Storm related? Right now, okay. As far as storm update.
Other than the disappointment from the lack of a federal disaster declaration, which there are people still working on that, we need to continue that effort as far as I'm concerned. To both of you, and I know that I've continued to say this and will continue to say it, Randy and Chris alike, thank you so much for all you've put into this and your efforts. It's just been incredible.
You're very welcome. We just got to make sure we keep this momentum up, that it continues to clean up.
Thank you, gentlemen.
Thank you.
Sir, are you here for the public hearing that's scheduled at 10 o'clock? Do you gentlemen have anything else on that issue, or shall we stand in recess until the public hearing at 10 o'clock?
I've got nothing else.
Okay. Recess is fine.
Lynn, let's stand in recess until 10.